Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're listening to Black Politics in Minneapolis. I'm your host, Don Allen, and I'm glad to have you here today. It's a beautiful day here in the Twin Cities, sunny out, unseasonably warm, temperatures in the low 70s, which is unheard of for the Twin Cities in March, especially the week during the different basketball, boys, women, and the state tournaments here in the Twin Cities. And it's just incredible. It's really nice. I'm glad you joined me tonight. There's been a couple things happening in North Minneapolis. I know on Wednesday night, March 14th, a 56-year-old Roseville man, that's Roseville, Minnesota, for our international and domestic listeners. Roseville, Minnesota is a suburb of St. Paul, Minneapolis. A 56-year-old Roseville man was shot. 10 p.m. on the 400 block of 23rd Avenue North. The police are currently interviewing eyewitnesses to find out, you know, if they can get any leads. But again, you have a bunch of murders and homicides going on in North Minneapolis, and no one's really figured out, you know, how to solve these problems, how to address the murders, deal with the youth in the neighborhood that might have some challenges with getting jobs, you know, and education. And there's a lot of dropouts, a lot of things going on in that city that, this part of the city of Minneapolis, North Minneapolis, that really need to be addressed and are just, it's just not being addressed. It's not happening. So with that said, I'm hoping to have on a local Minneapolis St. Paul cab driver by the name of John Shannon, who is fully aware of what's going on, and also he is a hosts his own show here on Blog Talk Radio called The Shannon Files, and it's a very interesting program. You guys should check that out sometime, blogtalkradio.com, and search The Shannon Files. You can also follow him on Twitter at The Shannon Files, all one word. Again, my name is Don Allen, editor-in-chief of the Independent Business News Network in the Twin Cities, one of the largest online news agencies in the state of Minnesota that covers the black community. Investigative reports, editorials, business, education, community, just a variety of things that we cover here. And we're going to go to the phone lines, and we have a caller. Hello, how are you?
I think that's me you're looking for there, Donnie.
Yes, yes. How are you doing? Yeah, I just was telling the listeners that I was hoping that you would call in. I know that you had a show going on here on Blog Talk Radio, and I went ahead and plugged that and also plugged, you know, to follow you on Twitter. So, okay.
Well, I appreciate that. Oh, and I tell you, we've extended our show to 2 hours. Fortunately, I do have a co-host, but man, I tell you, I don't know how these guys that do 3 hour shows, how their voices last. Other than the fact that, you know, if you work for WCCO, you have 15 minutes of content and 45 minutes of commercials. So that's probably how they survived.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, for a while there, I had the show On Point, and we had it up to 90 minutes, which is, you know, an hour and a half. And, man, I'm telling you, just you can't sit down an hour for a show and put together hours and a half worth of talking. It's something that you got to get, you know, work on and get stuff together all week just for that hour and a half of show.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a lot of dead space. So, yeah, it's wild. But anyway, getting back to my point, you know, Mr. Shannon, I know that you are dealing the taxi industry here in the Twin Cities, and I was talking about, you know, the Roseville man that was 56-year-old Roseville man that was slain Wednesday night, March 14th, on the 400 block of 23rd Avenue North.
23rd Avenue, right.
Yes. And so
he has been identified. His name is Bill or William Harper.
William Harper, like you
said, yeah, he is a resident of Roseville. Ironically, he just returned to the taxi industry after spending time driving a limousine for several years. So he got back into the taxi industry, and this is what greeted him. He took a call, as I understand, without getting into too much detail as far as the investigation is concerned, he took a call in the North Minneapolis area, and apparently, according to eyewitness accounts, the shooter ran off to a house in the vicinity there of 23rd and 4th. Police interviewed several witnesses there, but they were unable to name a suspect at that particular time. In other words, the shorter part of that is that nobody wanted to drop dime on this individual.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I was just telling the listeners before you call, we have a epidemic in North Minneapolis with people being shot, stabbed, strangled, beaten, and there's never any suspects. Nobody, because, I mean, you have the 3-year-old Terrell Mays that was shot here earlier a couple months ago.
That's still such a shame.
Yeah, and he was in his house, you know, and we found out later that in North Minneapolis, you know, there are people that have a safe room, which is in the middle of the house. One lady told me she has mattresses and dressers around in front of the windows, and they sleep at a lower level just in case some guns, some bullets come through. And so you have a situation in that part of town, and that is, it's very serious, number one, but it doesn't seem to be addressed by local politicians. And I call the show Black Politics in Minneapolis because, you know, I'm looking at the political aspect of this, like, why is this continued to go on? And just to make another point, and I'm going to let you chime in here, John, that particular block where the 3-year-old Terrell Mays was shot, and also that area there on 23rd and 4th, the 400 block of 23rd Avenue, that area has been focused on by the city and by the different nonprofits since 1996.
Right.
And still, you know, you have probably $450 million dumped into North Minneapolis since 1996 to address everything from crime to unemployment to education. And still, this area looks the same. The people haven't really changed, or I shouldn't say the people haven't changed. I should say the outcomes for the people in the neighborhood haven't changed, because I don't really want to do any gentrification. I just want people to have a good life. And so when you get a hardworking cab driver that just happens to be in that neighborhood, and he gets shot and might have been robbed. I don't know much of the detail. I know it was a yellow taxi or yellow cab. You know, there's a serious issue going on what's happening. I mean, why are people that desperate? I mean, your thoughts, Mr. Shannon.
Well, you know, it's something that I've been at this now for over 30 years now, driving a taxi cab. I have worked not only in the city of Minneapolis and St. Paul, but I have worked in some of the most rundown areas in the United States, North Las Vegas, Nevada, sections of Orlando, Florida, Wichita Falls, Texas, Corpus Christi, Texas, Little Rock, Arkansas. I got to tell you something. We still have it pretty lucky here in Minneapolis compared to those other areas that I mentioned. But I'm sorry. I'm of the mentality that one individual losing their life senselessly is too many. So to say that, oh well, there's only been 3 recorded murders in the city of Minneapolis since the first of the year that I know, that as far as I know, that's 3 too many.
Yeah. It's really strange how the news media and the police come out with 3 homicides since the beginning of the year, because I know that there's been more people than that shot down over North Minneapolis. And I think they have some kind of rule of thumb. Until the coroner determines it was a homicide, or do they have a suspect, it's not considered. There's some crazy kind of a guideline for homicides. It just doesn't make any sense at all. But,
well, there's gunfire all the time over there. It's just whether or not somebody, you know, for all the people who unfortunately lose their life, look at how many people who wind up at the doorstep of North Memorial Hospital, you know, with gunshot wounds or stab wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. No, go ahead. You're absolutely correct.
Well, that's just, and like I said, you know, I don't work nights. I hate to say it, in the number of years that I've been driving a cab, you couldn't pay me enough to work the night beat anymore. There's just between the dangers that you have in working in particular neighborhoods, and quite frankly, at my age, I'm tired of dealing with drunks, and I ask myself, my God, was I ever that bad in my drinking days? You know?
I work during
the day, but you still the things that you see during the day, you're still seeing it. Homes that, you know, look at, I cringe every time I go through that area over by Broadway and Penn. There has been, I mean, this, we're almost a year removed from the tornado, and there are still areas over there that look like a bomb went off over there. There's been nothing done over there.
Yeah, and despite all the cash that's been dumped in by, you know, you have that North Side community response team or whatever the heck they're called, and you know, even we went into winter, and I know you know this because you drive around. We went into this winter last year, and there was houses, like 50 houses in North Minneapolis with blue tarps on them.
Right.
You know, and so I'm like, wow, where does it end? I mean, it seems to be a steady decline since 2006, since the day they elected Congressman Keith Ellis into office and R.T. Ryback for mayor. And I just put it like this. I mean, I'm not trying to knock them or anything, but I know that the mayor of the city has had some really great ideas, but it just doesn't seem like anything really launched. And if it did launch, it was very superficial. The results were celebrated, but the results were next to nil. And so I'm going back to the mindset that, you know, it might look good on paper, but as for the people, it doesn't look. The paper has nothing to do with the people at this point. And go ahead, please.
Donald, I got to tell you, for as liberal as I am, I have absolutely no time for R.T. Ryback. I mean, when you look at all the things that need to be done, especially in North Minneapolis, and what's he accomplished over there. We have a freaking week. We can drive down Fremont on a bicycle now. We got a dedicated bicycle lane going down Fremont. Hallelujah.
Yeah, who's going to ride?
Who the hell's going to ride?
Yeah, I'm not. You're not.
Hell no.
Yeah, and so, I mean, even with that said, you know, now, I mean, I'm pretty sure you know about this, you know, the 5th Ward Councilman, Councilman Donald Samuels, you know, wants to run for county commissioner to take Mark Stingline seat here in Hennepin County. And, you know, I wrote a huge story about that because I'm saying, like, you guys are never focusing on the people. Now you want to run for county commissioner. Linda Higgins wants to run for county commissioner. You got Bobby Joe Champion thinking about jumping in for county commissioner. He's the state representative right now. I mean, you have all this strange stuff. And Don Samuels, you know, he's an admitted house Negro. He said that in public. And he won't do anything for the betterment, for lack of a better word, of the people of North Minneapolis. So
well,
I'm just going to go ahead.
I sent you a tweet here, and I wanted you to spread the message, and I'll say this too on this show to those who are listening from the industry, from the perspective of my industry. But I also sent a similar email message to Mr. Samuels, basically stating that in the years that I've been driving a cab, I understand that getting a taxi cab up in North Minneapolis sometimes like pulling teeth anyways. I understand that, and I understand the frustration that there are good working folk up there who rely sometimes, either the bus routes don't work or whatever, and they need a cab, and they're beating their head against the wall because they can't get it. They can't get a cab. Unfortunately, when something like this happens, and it never fails, I mean, every instance I've ever seen when there's been an inner-city shooting like this, taxi service suffers, and suffers greatly. And I want the residents of North Minneapolis to understand that until the shock wears off on this, it's going to be tough. There are going to be drivers, especially at night, who used to would work North Minneapolis religiously, that aren't going to do it. And it's a shame because, like I said, there are good people there that all they want to do is get from point A to point B. They're not involved in the BS that's going on. But the cab drivers aren't smart enough to distinguish that. They see a call up in North Minneapolis and they say, well, you know, look what happened to that other driver here 2 days ago. And unfortunately, it's going to take, I can't tell you how long. I mean, I remember back in 1990, back when Bill Nisma was shot. Of course, he was shot and killed over South Minneapolis. It took that particular area over there surrounding the 34th, 35th, and Pleasant over in that area. It was 5-6 months before cabs would even work that area of South Minneapolis anymore.
Yeah, and I know. Go ahead, please.
Go ahead. No, I'm not at that point.
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, this is again, unfortunately, another wake-up call. I've looked at stuff, I've looked at reports here on where money was doled out to people that were favorable of the city of Minneapolis and how nothing got done. I walked in, you know, Shiloh International Ministries is over there on Broadway, and I think it is DuPont there, right on the corner of the church. And I know I asked Bishop Howell, I went in and asked him personally, I said, you know, you received a grant or a grant where you could, they didn't give him all the money at once, but they said, okay, we want you to look into the gang thing, youth violence. We want you to address some of these situations, do some outreach. So I think it was like 12 equal payments, which totaled $250,000. And I went and asked him, I said, you know, you're supposed to, you know what's, you know, you're supposed to have a pulse of what's going on about, you know, how these youth or who's ever out there doing this violent stuff, you know, where they're at, what are the gang names, where are they located, where are they getting the weapons from. It's actually a detailed outreach program. The problem with that is you know, yeah, Bishop Howell is a great friend of the mayor. You have Don Samuels that goes to his church, a bunch of the North Side. I call them Nomi terrorists. go to their church. And, you know, that's fine and dandy. But you, these days in North Minneapolis, you can't give money to people just because they're your buddies, because the job does not get done. It's an old lesson, you know. My dad used to say, never borrow your friends any money. Never give your friends any money, you know, because they'll keep coming back, and you'll never get nothing done. And it holds true in this situation, because the only thing that Bishop Howell could tell me was that, you know, some young men came and gave their hearts to Christ. I think that's very good coming from a religious family. I think that's wonderful. But where's the hardcore data? Where's the change at? How come a person, an entrepreneur in a cab, is getting shot in North Minneapolis? Many cab drivers. I know I have, like, some Somalian friends who are cab drivers. They will not even pick up people downtown Minneapolis
and bring them over. Right.
Yeah. I mean, they'll forget it. They're not going to do it because they've been robbed. I know one guy, because I've been robbed 4 or 5 times. He stopped calling the police. He says, well, at least they left me with my life, you know.
Well,
wow.
This is something that I would like to at some point in time get into. Unfortunately, the mixing the Somali drivers with black Americans is kind of like mixing oil and water. For whatever reason, I don't know enough about it to understand it. I'm going to tell you something right now, though, from being on the inside of this industry, there are not that many robberies. These Somali guys aren't getting robbed 3 and 4 times in a short cab driving career. I got to tell you something. I've been robbed in 30 years, Don. I've been robbed once.
Yeah.
Once, one time. Now, yeah, was that lucky? Probably. Was that the fact that maybe I'm a little bit careful? I watch my, you know, I watch my surroundings and stuff like that. When I drop off somebody, I'm always watching to see if there's somebody approaching the cab from always watching my surroundings. So there are things you can do to protect yourself. But there was a guy on the radio that tried to tell the reporter that he was robbed and beaten in front of a police station. You know,
wow.
Come on. Now, that you know, there becomes a point in time where you start getting a little bit over dramatic here. And I don't want to talk bad about the Somali cab drivers. I know they're in a strange area. They're doing the best they can. A lot of them, but a lot of what you're hearing from them is just the fact that they just for whatever reason they do not get along with black Americans, and I don't understand it. And
there's a real quick sidebar here. I asked these guys that question because, you know, Mr. Shannon, I've been downtown in a suit and a tie with my briefcase, and I've been on, and when I'm downtown, I'll drive and I'll park in the parking ramp. I got a parking ramp deal it's $250 a day. So why would I move my vehicle to these other parking ramps that charge $7, $8, and I'm only going to be there for 5 or 10 minutes? Sometimes I just, you know, I'll either, you know, I'm a veteran, so I can hop on the bus for free, or if I need to go a little bit further, like if I have a lunch date, if I'm on 7th and Hennepin and I have a lunch date at the Monte Carlo, I know that's a $5 cab ride, $6 with a tip, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I walked to this one cab where this Somali man, he seemed pretty friendly, and I said, hey, you know, I'm going over here to the Monte Carlo. He says, you know, I'm waiting for airport run. I will give you $1 to catch the bus. You know, and I'm in a suit and a tie.
that's some great. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. But here's another wonderful thing that the Minneapolis City Council did, is that they took the lid off of the number of taxis that are on the streets right now. And we covered this actually not too long ago. I had John Tevlin with the Star Tribune do a ride along with me. I work for a company that does a lot of contract work. I would have to say that out of about 90-95% of what I do is either medical transportation, school transportation, I do very little in cash transportation. I don't spend a lot of time on these cab stands downtown. Is it right that they're telling you, as a matter of fact, if they turn down your ride and offer you some BS story like that, take down their cab number and call them in the city of Minneapolis, because that can't be happening. But, yeah, that's the other – but the reason they're doing that is because they're sitting on these cab stands for, you know, up to 2-3 hours at a time, and they're waiting. The longer you sit on a cab stand, the longer that ride has to be. Otherwise, they're not making any money.
Yeah, exactly.
So exactly. I don't condone their actions, but there is logic to that, to what they're doing, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just kind of strange. And I just, you know, I don't know at this point, you know, I don't know at this point, you know, what possibly can be done, because now you have an area that all cab companies are telling their drivers, hey, be careful if you go over there. Make sure that you pick up the right type of passenger, and which is profiling. And some people that, you know, that grandma that's downtown Minneapolis after her doctor's appointment at the Medical Arts Building at 4 or 5 in the afternoon might not get a cab to her house in North Minneapolis.
Well, here are the suggestions that I would offer from a perspective. First off, if you ever deny, if you go to get into a cab in downtown Minneapolis and that driver turns you down, don't argue with them. Don't get into a big huff over them. Just say, okay, fine. Go down to the, you know, try to get somebody else in the line to take you, but take down that cab number. By all means, take down the information, document it, turn it into the city. Make sure that the city follows up on that, because we cannot have drivers that are turning down fares. The other thing is that if you are in North Minneapolis and you call for a cab, we take down phone numbers for every run that we take. When the company calls you to tell you that cab is out front or tells you that cab is on the way, answer the phone.
Yeah.
Get off your conversation with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your mother or whoever. Answer the phone, because that is that company's way of confirming that order, confirming that's you. They have a traceable. They have something that's traceable. It's just a security level. And then the other thing is that don't call for a cab at such and such an address and then come sauntering down the street out of nowhere and try to surprise the cab driver. He's going to drive away. Cab drivers are told to make sure that the customer comes out of the place that they called from. So it's just common sense is all it is. And and if you exercise these little things, we'll get through this. We'll get good people, we'll get cab service. And we'll weed out the bad cab drivers, the ones that are going to use this as an excuse or a crutch not to serve the public, which I want to see gone anyway. I want to see those particular drivers off the street anyway, so we got too many of them as it is.
I agree. And with that, Mr. Shannon, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show today. I had a 30-minute show today, and maybe I'll increase it here later. Again, we had Mr. John Shannon from the Shannon Files. You can search your show on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com, The Shannon Files, all one word. We appreciate you having you here with us today. And again,
thanks for bringing me on.
We'll be back next Friday about the same time. I'm Don Allen, Editor-in-Chief of the Independent Business News Network, and you've been listening to Black Politics in Minneapolis. Have a great weekend.